Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. This is the second Sabbath of the month, and we have a volunteer that will be leading out in our service today. So I'll go ahead and turn the service over to our dear brother.
Well, Sabbath blessings to everyone. God bless you all. I pray that by God's grace, your week was a very blessed week and that the Lord showed up in great power. And I pray that all of your loved ones are doing well, and any trials or tribulations that you might have had, the Lord has also given you strength to continue on in this wonderful and beautiful battle for salvation through Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. We're going to continue on this week, on this Sabbath day, with Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, and we are talking about last week, and the week before has been about swearing not at all, whether it be by heaven or by earth or by anything whatsoever. We're learning more about how deep that really goes, and been very surprised at how much the Word of God and the Spirit of Prophecy has brought out concerning what swearing really entails when it comes to the Lord, and how many different ways in which we can find ourselves, even at times, ensnared in doing that, and we may not even know about it. So we're going to continue on by God's grace, and we're starting off this day on page 67. And Brother Rob is going to bring the reading up. And please, anyone who has something to share, please feel free, because the Holy Spirit is working over all of us, especially as we let Him. So take courage and be brave. And we all have something to share, and we've all learned something wonderful this week from the Lord. So please, we could all benefit. So take courage and be able to share whatever the Lord needs. Before we get started, anyone who would like to open with a word of prayer, please feel free to do so now.
Let us pray. May we bow down our heads and our hearts. Dear Father, God of love, unconditional, sacrificial, redeeming, and eternal, we come to your throne of grace, humble, grateful to the utmost for who you are, for what you have given us. Numberless blessings all through our years here. There's nothing indeed provided for us unstamped by the cross. May we never forget that every blessing we cannot claim or authorize as it is our own, nor can we boast or swear by anything. Forgive us for our past offenses in this regard, when impure words has passed our lips. May we be conscious from now on of this lesson we learned last Sabbath and carry it forward in our lives. I give the care of your people to your most able hands, whatever need it may be. Nobody can meet it nor make it better than you. Father, may your special wisdom accompany your shepherds, your workers in your vineyards. Protect them in these portentous times. May you give a special blessing to your speakers today. We are thankful most of all that we have this precious hope of inheriting a better land because of the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord Jesus, His blood, His very own life poured out for our ransom. Thank you, dear Godhead, for everything, for every kindness, compassion, and every look of mercy towards us, no matter how undeserved. We cannot comprehend what love it is, what grace, for it surpasses all understanding. The life of Christ laid down for mankind sums it all. Dear Father, please hear our prayer. We ask this in the most holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear sister, for such a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much. And I pray that you all please bear with me. I'm a little nervous. I know it may seem like I shouldn't be, but I can get that way. So now we can come to the reading, as I kind of got a little ahead of myself. I'm thankful for the reminder of that. Our reading is going to start off on page 67. And again, it's about the spirituality of the law and swear not at all, coming from Matthew chapter 34. And we'll start off with the first reading. But if there is anyone who can consistently testify under oath, it is the Christian. He lives constantly as in the presence of God. Oh no, my apologies. We're down by Jesus proceeded to lay. It was last week that we were at the other part. Forgive me. Jesus proceeded to lay down a principle. Jesus proceeded to lay down a principle that would make oath taking needless. He teaches that the exact truth should be the law of speech. Let your speech be yea, yea, nay, nay, and whatsoever is more than these is of the evil one. If anyone has something that they would love to be able to share in concerning this, please feel free to do so.
Yeah, I think that's very important to understand, because when you become riled up, you want to say a whole lot to individuals to let them know how upset you are. But here we see that our speech is to be very concise, even just a yes or a no. And anything that may come beyond that, the devil can capitalize upon. So when you become angry, even silence is better than all the words that you can say in some situations. And if you want to say more, Christ is telling you, say less. And you'll be much safer that way.
Amen, amen. I have found also in my own personal walk where counting a few seconds when even someone asks me a question, to be able to count a few seconds before even saying something, because I found in the past when I've answered too fast, I wind up saying something I really wish I wouldn't have. Not that it was like so superiorly evil, but in hastiness, we can say something that will easily be mistaken, or that we show that we have a kind of an attitude towards whatever is being shared with us. So I've learned that, you know, trying to take a few seconds before saying something is very beneficial and it's given me a chance to be mindful of what am I about to say and how am I about to say it and how is it going to be taken by the person who I'm about to say it to, because I had to be mindful of that too by God's grace. If anyone else has something else they'd like to share about that, please feel free. Okay, if there's someone that would like to read the next paragraph, it starts off with these words condemn.
These words condemn all those meaningless phrases and expletives that border on profanity. They condemn the deceptive compliments, the evasion of truth, the flattering phrases, the exaggerations, the misrepresentations in trade that are current in society and in the business world. They teach that no one who tries to appear what he is not, or whose words do not convey the real sentiment of his heart, can be called truthful.
Amen, amen. Thank you, dear brother. There was a lot in this particular paragraph, and I'm sure that there are some here by God's amazing grace that can add to this so that we may all benefit. So please feel free, if there's something that's on your heart you'd like to share, please feel free to do so.
Hi, everyone. Sabbath blessings. Something that what really stood out to me in this paragraph was how all those, like the evasion of truth and flattering phrases that are current in society and the business world, I have often felt at odds as a Christian hearing advice on how to talk or mingle with people, because often there is some advice to be deceptive. There is encouragement to be, in my opinion, what I call slimy about it. And that goes in direct contradiction as to what it means to be a Christian day in and day out. And I know that when you are living that Christian lifestyle, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in everyone's faces about your faith, but rather that it shows and is integrated into your character. And I have found that even in the secular, even in the most mundane interactions, I feel the war of good and evil, even in something as simple as this. And it always drives me closer to lean on the cross and be like, well, I don't want to be the one person to always stand out necessarily, but I also don't want to be part of a crowd that encourages lies amongst each other, or to betray what Christ would want me to be. And so I'm glad that we're talking about this, because even in the small interactions, the war is being waged. So I pray that all of us, as we continue on, continue to cling to Christ, and even in something as simple as our words.
Amen, dear sister, very much so. And I can very much understand that area, because we can be quick to get caught up, unfortunately, at times. And either I will touch on the flattering phrases, because even when we're around, whether it's family or friends or coworkers, it just seems like you're almost pressed to say something you don't really have to say, whether it's about an appearance or about something someone likes. And in your heart, you really don't want to say anything, because it's not really that important to say it, and it only really strokes the pride of the other person. So I know I found myself pressured in some ways to feel like, I should say something. Other people are saying something, so I should be saying something. So yeah, good shoes. Oh, I love that thing that you're doing over there. And it kind of makes me at the moment feel okay, but it doesn't afterwards. It's like a bitter taste afterwards, because I know I didn't really care about the shoes. They really didn't impress me so much, but everyone else was saying something, so I felt that I should do that. And it also goes down to even what's spoken of earlier, and that's really, like it says too, the deceptive compliments. They kind of go hand in hand with the flattery and the deceptive compliments. They kind of go hand in hand in that way. And yet there's something also, the evasion of truth. It's better, Brother Robert said that before, dear brother, it's better not to say anything when someone even asks a question than to say something that really is evasive and uncomfortably so. If it's not someone's business, per se, people can tend to ask questions to kind of dig in and into one's life. Maybe we don't have the best smile on that day. They may want to start digging. It's best to just give a very simple answer, honest answer, but we don't have to give out our business. I'm hoping that that's understood, but please, if someone else has something to share concerning those things also, please feel free to do so.
I think it's important to recognize that the meaningless phrases and expletives that border on profanity. So it's not profanity itself, but it's close. So it's like when you drop something, you go, "Oh shoot." Well, that's an expletive that borders on profanity because the S there is a very well known four letter word. You're just changing it into something that is not profanity, but it's close to it. Or you say, "Darn it." Well, that's just another way of saying the the four letter curse word that starts with a D. So Christ's words, "Let your speech be yea, yea, nay, nay, because whatever's more than this comes of evil." So even the expletives that aren't curse words, but they're close to it, Christ forbids because they come from evil. So if you drop something and you gotta say something, just say, "Oh no." Then you're well within the righteous pathway by putting it "no" instead of the other words that you may want to bring out.
Yes, dear brother, that's a good point. And it kind of shows forth how challenging, I'm going to have to say that, how challenging that can be and how clean and pure also our words really need to be, especially in the sight of all man and God in heaven. But that is a challenge I'm sure that many of us face. I know I personally face that. That's why a lot of times I got into the habit of saying this little phrase that I say, "Man alive," or "Oh my lands." I will say them because I used to have what they might call, or what they would call, kindly call, a sailor's tongue. That's not a nice thing. It's not a compliment in any way, shape, or form. But that's kind of where I came from in that way. By the grace of God, though, it is not that way now. But it's still a challenge. And what our dear brother just said makes a lot of sense, because you only have to change a couple of letters to come across with the same word that the world would use that is unclean and profane. You only have to change a letter or two. You don't have to change much. And it is easier to say, "Oh wow," or "Oh man," or "Oh, why did that happen?" Anything else than that comes close to swearing, basically, in a profanity way, not in like, "Okay, I swear on my car" or something like that, but in profanity. The other things also that are here too that I found very challenging. That's going to be an interesting word for today, is challenging. And that is come with exaggerations. When I used to work out in the workforce and I was in retail, well, in that field, you are very much under the gun, as they say, to exaggerate your profits and exaggerate what your sales have been and exaggerate how well you do on the sales floor and with your clients, or how you've managed your records, and you tend to be pressured into that exaggeration, or not even have to be so much pressured into it, I found that sometimes it wasn't so much pressure, it was a matter of wanting to get a leg up. And that leg up can come with a cost, because sooner or later, the exaggeration has to meet the fire of the test in which you stated, you know, we stated something. We are met with the challenge of actually meeting the fire of, okay, let's put that to the test. Did you really do that? Have you really been that way? I'm observing and I don't see you actually making that many sales, and or whatever the case may be. You're really not that good in customer service, but you're bragging about it. Whatever the case may be for wherever, you know, our industry lies, I have found in the past that exaggeration can come, especially in the business world, very quickly into a conversation. And it's almost as if they're like, there's like this little nudging in the back of your shoulder saying, yeah, say this. This will definitely give you, this will be impressive. They'll be impressed by this. You need to say that. Yeah, tell them this. And later on, maybe if we are being sensitive to the Lord at that time, depending on where our walk has been, if we're still in the world, we may not be very sensitive, but we're still going to feel it, because the Holy Spirit in mercy and grace deals with us, all of us, differently. So it may not be at that time that I feel something, but it will be later on. My conscience is going to say something. Our conscience will say, well, you know, you didn't really do that well, but you made it sound like you did so much better than you did. So it may come back, you know, to bite you later on, and you don't even know it. So this is something I believe is important too. And even in our social life, we can get to be exaggerative, and we have to be mindful of this little tongue of ours, because the Word of God says that it is set in the midst of our members so that in the use of it, wrong use, we can defile our whole being. Our whole bodies are defiled when we misuse it. In the same way, though, I see there's the converse, where if we are a blessing to others and blessing others with our tongue, then we also are sanctifying ourselves before the Lord in how we walk before the world and how we walk before Him, humbly before Him, in the use of our tongue, and not puffing ourselves up with lots of exaggerations on things that we say or do. So, but if anyone else has something else they'd love to be able to share, please feel free to do so.
I have a question. So I put it in the room, but I'll just ask it here. So what about facial expressions? And the only reason why I ask is because I have a very expressive face. And with some of my facial expressions, you don't have to guess what I'm thinking, because it's like right there, you know? And so like, and I kind of like have to watch myself because of how expressive it can be. I have to like watch how my face goes. And so like, and with being a Christian and having to show and present myself a certain way, out when I'm at work or when I'm at or here or there, I have to make sure that, you know, it's almost as if I was speaking, but it's just on my face. So, and it's always, I'm always analyzing my face and am I okay? Especially when I'm angry. I just want to know, like, what someone else's take on that is, you know?
Well, if I may for a moment, I'd like to answer a little bit on that also, and then our dear sister Christina has something to share. I understand what you're talking about, dear sister, because when it comes to facial expressions, a lot actually can be said with our faces. And we can reveal a lot of what is maybe even going on inside can come out across our countenance, as it said in the Word of God. Why is your countenance down when the Lord even spoke to Cain after he slew his brother? But it was mentioned many times throughout Scripture concerning our countenance. I have found myself also challenged in that area, so I understand. People have said that I can come across with my face being very stern. I don't feel that. I'm not feeling that way at all about being very dour or stern or anything like that, but my face is expressing it somehow. So I too am mindful of that. I have to, yes, exactly, dear sister, if looks could kill. Yes, I'm not aware of it. I'm really not. And inside, I don't really have that feeling going on. I may even be singing a praise song in my heart, but my face is saying, yeah, you can step aside because I'm walking down the sidewalk now, okay? So move. But I don't mean it. I really don't. I hear you, dear sister, and I've actually had to train myself to kind of smile more, and that's a conscious thing I have to try and do, because otherwise I just go about, you know, I have my thoughts are in my head, they're not unclean thoughts, by God's amazing grace, and I'm thinking on different things that need to be done, or that I might have just read or anything, and it's not, I'm not trying to destroy the world, but it may come across that way. So I do understand that, dear sister. It's a challenge for myself also, and I think for others, they have that similar challenge. But I'm going to pause now and let our dear sister Christina, you had a question.
I just have a blessing. So my daughter asked, it's kind of loud. Very loud. Okay, so my daughter asked, who said cuss words are cuss words? And it's really hard to explain that because it's like, I don't know. And the simple fact that a few of the, in a quote, cuss words are in the Bible. So it's hard to justify whether or not we should use them or not. So when we read the Ten Commandments and ass is in the Ten Commandments, it's okay. It's a donkey, some type of animal. But then the children can run around and say, I'm gonna kick your, and it's just like, okay. Well, and then they come back with it. Well, it's in the Bible, and it's like, okay. So how do I explain that? Because there's, Brother Bob did say that there are, good and bad ways of, using, words when speaking. But when someone is just simply having a simple dialogue, like, I gotta go poop, instead of saying poop, they say in the S word. So it's not as if they're meaning any type of disrespect or anything, but it is what it means for that sentence at that time. So it's just, okay, I can't explain that. So I just looked at her. I said, you may got a point right there. But as parents, we're still going to tell our children, you stop cussing around me.
I hear what you're saying, dear sister. And first off, for our dear little sister who's asking, cuss is actually a slang word for curse. And as history brings us back to placing curses on people, it really comes back to that, or to curse the day, or that, which is the opposite or converse of blessing the day. It is cursing the day. I don't like it. I don't want this. When it comes to, like, say, when Job, we'll take it in that instance where Job said he cursed the day that of his birth. Okay, that means he would that it was never happened. That instead of praising God for his birth in that time frame, he didn't. Well, we have each found ourselves in situations like that, possibly. I can speak to myself. I can't speak for where everyone else has been, where we may have thought that way. So a curse word is a word that's not nice in the sense that I would that you would lose your life. Well, that's a curse. Or I'm hoping that you don't get that job you've been begging for. That's a curse. Those are curse words. Those are words that are used to basically bring something evil upon a person. You are hoping evil will happen. In our modern day, cuss words or curse words are words that are what we just read earlier, profane. They're nasty. They're harmful. They are said to be in a mean way, unkind way, unclean way. They even come out of our mouth and make our mouths, whether at the moment or not, but I believe it happens, makes our mouths feel filthy. Even after we say it, we're like, we feel nasty that we even said that word. So a curse word or words can be something that injures someone by hoping something evil on them, or it can be a profane word, like you have mentioned, dear sister, the S word instead of poo. Okay, the world came up with that. And who is the prince of the power of the air in this world? That is Satan. And the evil angels know how to stir up men's minds to come up with these vile words that were poo. We can kindly say that, oh, that's poo. Or if we wish to say droppings or fecal matter or whatever the case may be, is a lot more kinder and even in cases medically correct than using something so harsh and vile, and that even in the speaking of it, you can tell it's just wrong. Right, there you go. Excrement, dung. Amen, dear sister. So it was mentioned also, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, which is true. It is a corrupt form of communication. When I was growing up, my little town that I grew up in was surrounded by, you know, different little other towns and bigger, and one bigger city. And going into that city, you could learn a whole lot of vile words. My parents that I grew up with, and even many in the community that we grew up with, which was in a little area that they lovingly called Goat Hill, because mostly people of color lived in that neighborhood. So we were raised up not to use slang and not to use cuss words. Does it mean that we didn't hear them? No. But we were raised up not to. Why? Because they would close a lot of doors also. So when serving the Lord, it's going to be very difficult for someone who serves the Lord and says that they are a child of God to reach someone who's in the world if what comes out of their mouth is something that would come out of a gutter or that would come out of a drain or anything that's just vile. You cannot reach someone for the Lord. We're going fishing, and we are to be fishers of men, and we are to be sowers of seed and going out for the harvest. Well, we cannot go ahead and sow seeds of profanity, hoping that we're going to get a harvest of sweet, beautiful fruit for the Lord, or the wheat is going to be ripe and golden in the grapes in the clusters. It's not going to happen that way. If we speak like that, what example are we giving for our Lord with that person? Even if we get upset, stump our toe, or someone's picking on us or calling us names, it's better that we zip our mouth. And even if we're still learning how to get our face under control, we just turn away and walk away and just move and pray. While I'm walking, and I may be walking in a huff, I may be walking in a kind of like, oh, why did they call me that? Or why did they talk? I'd rather close my mouth, turn away, and walk like that, because at least I'm learning. I'm training my flesh to obey, and my tongue especially, to obey my will that's given to God. So, little sister, when we are using some words that may seem to be in the Bible, even as you mentioned that, when we're talking about the commandments, it's mentioned, or as in the Word of God, the word, for not a donkey, is a mix of a donkey, which is called an ass. So that may be there. However, that is a description of a mixture of animals. So they're not a mule, and they've been called, or is that a mule? Is that a mule? Someone know that's a mule? Or is that a donkey? That's not a donkey. I think it's another word for a mule. Because it's a mixed breed. So it's been called that. And then there may be another word, say, I will say the D word may be in there. Or as we are, we can be condemned and therefore be damned to hell. Well, using that in its proper term, someone who is condemned or damned to a condemnation, it means that they have crossed that line. And they are not going to be making it into the kingdom if they have crossed that line and it has been said to them by the Lord, you have been found and weighed in the balance and found wanting. Well, that person is condemned or under damnation to God, that they may be damned, as it says in the Word of God. So using words like that in their proper context for the purpose of holy and righteous speech is okay. But to be on the street and I ride my bike and I fall off of it and I use the word, well, that's different because now I'm using it as a dirty word, not as, oh, I'm going to burn up at the second coming when the Lord comes. I've lost salvation. We're not using it like that. I'm using it because I fell off my bike, scraped my knee, and now these filthy words are coming out of my mouth. That is a different use of the word. So even though, dear one, we may see those different words in Scripture, even the word hell is in Scripture, but I'm not going to go ahead and say, oh, and then use the word that like that loosely, because I'm basically then what they call cussing or using foul language, corrupt language. I'm not speaking with grace. That's a good point, too. I'm not speaking with grace. I'm speaking with the vileness of the world. And as children of light, we cannot go down that road. It's a battle, but it's a battle in the march that the Lord gives us strength to continue to battle with, no matter what the stormy situation may be. But we have to yield. We have to learn, little one, to yield. And take that deep breath when that word is trying to come out because the evil angels are pushing and our flesh is going ahead and stirring us up. We have to take that deep breath and say, Lord Jesus, give me strength. Cry out to him. He will give you strength because he has promised to give you strength. If anyone else has anything to be able to share with our dear sisters, please feel free to do so.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Before I comment on Sister Christina, Sister Karina, I think facial expressions reveal what's going on in the heart more than words can. So you may not say a word and they can see how you feel by just looking at your expression. And I don't see a problem in that unless the expression is an unchristian comment per se. Because this paragraph is dealing with truth versus deception, misrepresentation, falsehood. So if your facial expression shows anger and they ask you, are you angry? And you say no. Okay, well, that's falsehood. So we're dealing here with truth. So how our face expresses, how our face is expressing something, if our words are expressing something, it all has to be on the side of truth. And if it's not on the side of truth, then we're no longer on the side of Christ. We're now passed over onto the side of the evil one. So when someone has dirt on their face and they ask you, how do I look? And you want to be kind, and so you lie. Well, you look great, even though they have dirt on their face, right? You've lied there. And that makes you on the side of the evil one. So it would have been better not to say something, right? Or to tell them, you look great except for that spot of dirt on your face, right? Or that hair that's out of place or whatever it might be. So deceptive compliments, and that can also be facial expressions, but I think facial expressions reveal what's really in the heart. And that means even our expressions need to be converted. How we look at people, amen, body language as well. All of these need to be under control of the Holy Spirit. And so you may be mad, and it may reveal in your face. So don't try to cover it up, right? Admit, yes, I'm angry about that. And then say, I don't know why I'm angry about it, you know, but be honest. And that can go a long way. On to Sister Christina. When we come to different types of words that represent poop and pee and so on, it's up to the parents to decide what is appropriate language within the family. So if they're saying, I gotta take a, and they use the S word, that's a very sharp word that the world commonly uses as an expletive. So as parents, you need to decide that the S word should not be spoken in the family, because even though it's dealing with pooping, but a much more softer word that explains the same business is to be used in the family. So that's where the parents come in and say, look, the rules of the house are we don't use the S word, and, you know, enforce that. I think what's happening is you have individuals that use all of those words around family members when they're away from home, and it's become commonplace. They become so accustomed to hearing it outside of the family circle that they just use it when they're within the family circle. So that's where the parents need to step in and say, look, we have a rule in the house, no S words and whatever other words are used. But you can say, you know, you can go even to the extent of saying, I got to take a number two. So you eliminate any of the expletives that people may use. So that's where that can help control. But it also goes to motive. Why are they using ass? And if they do use that word, how do they mean it? Oh, I fell on my, well, of course that's not a donkey. Yeah. So even though the A word is in scripture, it never applied to the buttocks. It always applied to an animal. So if you use the word, what's your intention? What's your motive? So again, that deals with the family rules, right? So to use the A word in the correct sense, there's nothing wrong with it. But if a worldling hears you using that word, they're not going to say, oh, we're talking about a donkey. They're going to say, oh, we're talking about that. So we have to avoid even the appearance of evil, and that includes our words. So when we're out in public, we have to be Christian in every area, to the point that we're avoiding the appearance of evil. So you may be talking about a donkey, but to a worldling, if you use the A word, you're not talking about a donkey. So when you're dealing with society, you have to avoid using the A word and use the word donkey. Then the worldling knows what you're talking about. There's no there's no misunderstanding. And if they know you to be a Christian and they hear the A word coming out of you, they're going to say, oh, well, you're just like us. You're a worldling. So we need to be Christian in the home and we need to be Christian outside the home. And where we learn to be Christian outside the home is in the home. So that's where, as parents, we need even to modify the language of our children. And God gives grace, and he also gives patience to achieve that. Sister Christina says, I'm told stop being so literal every time I speak or correct others. Well, they're asking you to stop being Christian. Because when you look at how Christ spoke to individuals, he was very literal. Unless he was dealing with spiritual issues. So you never see Christ using cuss words or curse words. You do see him applying characteristics of animals to people because they were basically mimicking those characteristics. But you never see him cursing. You never see him swearing. You never read about him doing anything that was not within God's parameters of righteousness. Yeah, amen. Leave no room for Satan to fill.
Amen, amen, dear brother. That's very true. There were some other comments that were above that. I'd like to read to share with others that might have missed it. So I would like to share them. And we passed over some. And there was one that says, a smirk, a raised eyebrow, bat of an eyelash, even a wink can be on the negative because actions speak louder than words sometimes. And that's very true. Our body language, it has been said that our body language actually says more than our words do. I don't know where I got that from, but I've seen it several different times from those that make study of those things. But we can see that also in the Word of God, where it makes it very clear that our body language can be that way. Let's see. Then dear brother was saying, quoting Colossians 3:8, which is true, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So this was not something that was new going on today. This was something they were dealing with even back then in the time of Christ. It was pretty heavy, and they had to break free from all those things. So that was something else that was brought up. And then dear brother had mentioned that, and this has happened to others also, where he says, In the past I was cursed and literally spit on by Vegas. Well, that is, we can expect that. However, I understand that personally too. And I'm sure there are some of us here and that are also listening online, and I had not mentioned that they were there, and God bless you all, that have gone through that. They've been cursed out and cursed upon by their family and wished very evil by their family and friend and loved ones, even their loved ones. Yes, I'm dropping the Browns off at the Super Bowl. That, I have to say, I gotta laugh at that one, because that is a much better way of talking about those private things you gotta do in the bathroom. So that's a much better way of saying that, or mailing a letter, or things like that. That's another thing too. Let's see, we have some other comments that were going on. There are so many that have flown by, and I hope I'm not talking too low because I tend to drift off, so please tell me. Don't feel afraid to do so. I need a nudge if I'm doing that, because I tend to do that. I don't mean it in any kind of way. Yes, yeah, stop being good. Yes. Okay, so there's where we are with that. And I praise God for your patience in these areas. And what wonderful insights and comments and sharing that's being done. Praise God for that, because it's the Lord that is doing that work, and we're all being blessed by it. Let's see, in the last part. Now we are on the in the next paragraph, unless there is something that someone else wishes to share. In this paragraph that we are still in, we can go to the next paragraph, but if there's something that someone wants to share, please feel free to do so.
Yes, dear brother, just one quick point. Christ's words condemn. His words condemn. So if we become deceptive in our compliments, or if we try to evade the truth, or if we use flattering phrases or exaggerations or misrepresentations, our words, our actions are condemned by Christ. So this is not something that you can say, oh, well, all right, it's a choice. I'm just going to go ahead and continue the way I've talked in the past. And if you do that, you're agreeing to be under condemnation. So this is something that is very serious. And praise God for His grace that can help us overcome if we have habits in those areas.
Now, I'm going to like to touch on that last part, too. It's the last sentence in here. It just popped up to my eyes again. And they teach that no one who tries to appear what he is not, or whose words do not convey the real sentiment of his heart, can be called truthful. So the opposite of being called truthful, we know, is being called a liar or false or deceitful, deceptive. But usually getting right to the point is the person, generally speaking, is lying in what they are saying. And that does get conveyed also by our own gestures. We can be caught lying or not being truthful. I find that this too can be very challenging. Because I have found it challenging myself. And not to excuse anything, but I have to speak honestly, because this is what we're talking about. I find that that's challenging myself, because not everyone can take everything. So I find at times that I may have to present myself a certain way before a certain person. It's not how I feel, but it's how I know if I don't present myself in a certain particular way for that person, they're going to take something the wrong way, or they may mistake what I'm saying or what I'm doing. So if I don't know if anyone understands where I'm coming from in that. It's not to make excuse. It almost comes across for myself, and please correct me because we're here for that too. That not, it's like a saying I learned a long time ago while still running wild. Not everything is for everybody. So I don't say that to excuse how I may come up and I'm real jovial in front of someone when I know that that's someone who I'm really showing forth a lot of happiness looks for criticism all the time or is always digging for the dirt in one's life. So it is better for me to put on, even though I may not feel great, I believe even in the spirit of prophecy, we are encouraged, don't walk around with your head down. Don't walk around with a frown on your face, regardless of what your situation may be. Show forth the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. So maybe that's the point that I'm trying to make in that situation. It's not about being deceitful with our words or deceitful with our body language. It's about going ahead, and even though we may feel or even be having our mind wrapped up with so many things of the world or troubles that we're going through, we have to lay it all on the Lord and grab from the Lord His yoke and put that yoke on, knowing that it's lighter, because even in the midst of the storm that we're going through, though someone in front of us may ask us, because our smile is up there, "Are you doing okay? How are you doing?" I can honestly say with a smile on my face, "Well, things are pretty troublesome, but you know what? God will get me through it." Okay, I didn't lie. They're troublesome, and God will get me through it. But I don't have to break down with a frown on my face. "Oh, well, you know, things are just, I don't even know where to put myself." No, I don't have to do that. So I guess I'm trying to make that point that I've been down these particular roads too that aren't very easy to go down, and dealt with people that aren't at times easy to deal with. And I've had to walk, and I believe we've all been down that road where we have to walk that tightrope and wondering, okay, we have to keep the balance of what glorifies the Lord and what is honest and true and what doesn't give the enemy something to chew on. You know, we don't want that. So, but it's no easy light thing walking truthful before the world, before heaven. It's no easy light thing. Yes. Yes, dear sister, go ahead, please.
My other question is, how do we respond to those who, when you're having just basic conversation and they say something and then they kind of shy away and say, "Well, I'm just joking." And then you're looking at them like, "No, you're just lying." So that's always my response when people do that. So I just want to touch bases on how to respond to those types of people.
I understand what you're saying, dear sister, and I'll share something from my own life experience about that. In the past, before really truly coming to know the Lord and yielding to the Holy Spirit in my tongue and my actions, I would have very bitter responses back because my tongue would know exactly how to slice that person down to size in a minute, in a heartbeat, and just shred them for the fact that I know you're lying. You aren't joking. You're lying. And I'm going to say it in a way that makes you know I know you're lying, and I dressed you down, and that's the way it is. Now walk away. However, by the grace of God, what we are supposed to do and is right to do, I have learned to, some call it bite your tongue, and it is like biting your tongue, because it's like putting a brittle in your mouth. And you control that and let the Lord speak and be kind and say, "Well, at least this is what I've learned." I have learned to say, "Well, you know, if we're going to be honest with each other, you know, we're friends and we're supposed to be honest with each other and treat each other truthfully. It doesn't seem like you're really joking to me. It's coming across like you aren't, but you're trying to say something that you want to say like a joke, but that's not a joke to you. You're really serious about what you just said." I have said it. I have done it. And I've had to do it multiple different times in different situations. And in truth, I've been surprised at the results because they've been mixed. On one hand, the person who heard me speaking even in that way got offended and would distance himself more from me. On the other hand, those that understood where I was coming from and can see that I mean no offense, but I'd rather that we be honest, appreciate the fact that that was done, and then they would come clean with what they're saying. I don't know if that helps or not, but it helped by God's grace. I know it helped me to be that way than how I used to be, and that was brutal. They used to have a saying, I don't know if some of you may remember it, I'm sure you do, when that phase was going on, being brutally honest. If you are using brutality in honesty, you are not being honest really at all in the sight of God, because our words are supposed to be bathed and covered in grace for the hearer. So brutality in that area does not have anything to do with reaching that dear soul with whatever we're going to say. So we can't be brutally honest. That's the world. The world likes to use terms like that in order to give themselves the excuse of basically destroying someone else with their tongue and then try to say, well, you know, it's tough love. There is tough love to say where the Lord says, no chastening at the time seemeth to be what? Pleasant. But in the end, it yielded forth that agreeable fruit of righteousness. That's different than what brutal honesty is all about. But dear sister, I'm praying that that helps you in that area by God's grace. If I made any kind of sense with what I was saying, please let me know, okay?
I think so.
Yeah, amen. It deals with the motive. You can speak very plain words, but are you speaking them because self is initiating them in your heart, or are you speaking them because Christ through the Holy Spirit is initiating them? So it deals with motive. If the motive is selfishness, then the words don't come from God. If the motive is self-sacrificing, then they can come from God. So it depends on the motive. But our dear brother Joel brought up an excellent point just a little bit ago. When the devil brings you through tribulations and trials, and someone asks you how you're doing, if you go through and spell out every bad trial and tribulation that you're going through, you're actually praising the devil because he's the one that brought all those things upon you. If you say, God is good and has brought me through a whole lot and I'm much more stronger in his grace because of it, now you're giving God praise. So there's a tendency that when we go through really big tribulations, we want everybody to know so we can gain their sympathy. Well, that comes from a selfish motive. And that's also praising the devil because we're giving him glory by relating what he has caused us. So instead of becoming very informative on the trials and tribulations we've endured and how we felt about it and how it affected us and so on, give God glory. Say, well, the devil tried to take me down, but God raised me up when I prayed to him and asked for his grace. So try as little as possible in exalting the devil and try much more to exalt God. Because the only way you made it through those tribulations was because God gave you the grace and the strength and the comfort to rise above it. So he should be the one that gets all the praise, because without him, you'd still be down in the dumps.
Amen, dear brother. Does anyone else have anything else that they would like to share with us? Please feel free, okay?
Sabbath blessings all. And I so understand how and what everyone is saying, because I myself, number one, have that expressive space that you all have spoken about. And I also try my best to work on it, because I may be feeling one way, but my face is showing something else. And also sometimes I may just blurt out something and I work on that. And that's why Psalm 141:3 is like, Lord, please set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. In other words, please keep my mouth shut. You know, a lot of times my sister, may she rest in peace, she would say, I'm going to give you some kale pectate because you have diarrhea of the mouth. And so it's something that I work on all the time. It is not easy. When I was going through losing my mom last year, and, you know, a lot of times I would even go out on the porch and just sit and cry and pray, you know, just to even deal with everything. But not wanting to bring anyone else down with, how are you doing, you know. Well, and that is truly, literally what I would say. I can say God is good because he is good. And he always has been good, and he always will be good, and he is currently good. And so even now, going through different dynamics with other family members now after my mom is gone, it is hard. It is very hard because you ask the Lord to give you the strength to if you claim to be a Christian, to truly represent God. And not self, you know, and even with neighbors, you know, who have recently, even just so much as a little while ago, knocking on the door and, you know, the poor neighbor had fallen. And so she noticeably needed to have a sympathetic ear. And how do I say, I'm in church right now, so, okay, I'll pray for you. No, she needed to have an understanding, someone to listen to her. And I did for quite a little bit. And then I said, I'm actually listening to a sermon, but please take it easy. No, I'm keeping you in prayer. Just, you know, enjoy the weather, which is beautiful today by God's grace. And so, yeah, it is very difficult a lot of times to put on the quote smiling face when you might be totally different on the inside, you know. And so I'm still learning. With all my 60 plus years, I'm still learning. So I truly, truly, truly relate to what we're speaking of now.
Amen. Amen, dear sister. And praise God for that. And I do understand that. So I believe we all, in every sphere in our lives, we can touch and agree in those areas too that were just so lovingly shared. Thank you so much, and praise be to God for that. If there is anything else that someone would like to share, please feel free to do so.
I like to share something from one of my school books about language arts, speech. It speaks along with everything we were all discussing, learning from this paragraph. It's just like what Brother Bob quoted, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It says in the first part that I'm reading, not one word is to be spoken unadvisedly, no evil speaking, no frivolous talk, no fretful repining, or impure suggestion will escape the lips of him who is following Christ. A corrupt communication does not only mean words that are vile, it means any expression contrary to holy principles and pure and undefiled religion. It includes impure hints and covert insinuations of evil. Unless instantly resisted, these lead to great sin. Upon family, upon every individual Christian is laid the duty of barring the way against corrupt speech. In the company of those who indulge in foolish talk, it is our duty to change the subject of conversation if possible. By the help of the grace of God, we should quietly drop words or introduce a subject that will turn the conversation to a profitable channel. And Proverbs 15:4 also quotes, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Frivolous talk and evil speaking can refer to rumors or even saying untrue things about people, impure suggestion, bad advice, covert insinuation, and foolish talk. Rumors, whispers, whispers and also lies. In this part that says pure words, impure or vulgar words become token of foul and impure heart. A pure fountain sends forth pure water, and a pure heart dictates pure words. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Impure words have a tendency to poison the minds and hearts of those who hear them. But this is not all. They react upon the soul of him who utters them and deepen the stain of corruption there. Remember that others may escape the contaminating influence of your words, but you cannot. Then be careful of your words. If impure thoughts come into your mind, do not give them vent in words, but pray to God to take them away and give you thoughts that are pure and holy. Never use a word anywhere that you would be ashamed to speak in the presence of the most refined woman or the most devoted man. And further than this, never speak a word that you would not dare to speak if you realized that God were present to hear it, for be assured that he does hear every word and knows every thought. See first of all, then a pure heart, let your prayer be, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and then set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. In this part, it says, God's word condemns also the use of those meaningless phrases and expletives that border on profanity. It condemns the deceptive compliments, the evasions of truth, the exaggeration. Basically, it's what we're reading from. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19 says, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceives his neighbor. Say, am not I in sport? And from the book Education, page 236, it says, closely allied to gossip is the covert insinuation, the sly innuendo, for which the unclean in heart seek to insinuate the evil they dare not openly express. Every approach to these practices, the youth should be taught to shun as they would shun the leprosy. And one of this last part, all frivolity, all cheapness of conversation, all jesting and joking weakens the soul and weans the heart from prayer. Like Paul, the true followers of Christ will ever bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. They cannot keep in mind the sufferings of Christ for them and yet be light and trifling. The spirit of jesting, joking, the lightness and trifling is a stumbling block to sinners and a worse stumbling block to those who give way to the inclination of the unsanctified heart. The giddy laugh, the jesting, the joking sickens the soul that is feeding on Christ. Deep foolish talk is painful to him. With a humble heart, read carefully 1 Peter 1:13 to 18. Those who enjoy talking, you should see that their words are select and well chosen. Be careful how you speak. Be careful how you represent the religion you have accepted. You may feel it no sin to gossip and talk nonsense, but this grieves your Savior and saddens the heavenly angels. Listen to the vain, frivolous conversation. Hear the laugh, the jesting, the joking. Is this imitating the pattern? Still listen. Is Jesus' mission? Is the truth the theme of conversation? Are the speakers glorifying the cross of Christ? It's mainly referring into we should never hear say jokes that tease people or make fun of people. That's what the just and joke implies. Not referring to silly wordplay jokes, which are harmless. After all, they're just referring to silly sayings that make sense. Not referring to hurtful things toward people or about what their looks, the way they act. This whole book speaks is exactly what we're reading from, and even includes this paragraph that we just read. And so all in the way of saying, you must be careful and keep taking these warnings seriously in order to be closer to Christ. And that's the only comment I'm going to give.
I say amen, dear Brother Joshua. Excellent points that were brought up. And I even want to touch on the one that you had brought up concerning poisoning the minds. That is the great battlefield that Satan, the evil angels, and their agents, human agents, battle for concerning us, and especially our young and little ones, is the battle of the mind. And to keep our minds pure, and if we keep our minds fixed on pure and holy thoughts, thoughts of heaven and homeland, thoughts of helping others, thoughts of being kind to our neighbors, being kind around the house, helpful to mommy or daddy or our brothers and sisters, husband or wife. When we're practicing those things in our mind and we are planting those things in others' minds through our actions or through our words, it has a very large impact for either the good or the bad, even as our dear brother was sharing. If we are poisoners of the minds of those around us, we are not bringing forth springs of living water, as was mentioned. We're not bringing that forth. We are broken cisterns, and the water in which we have that we bring forth is actually going to be bitter waters, or even wormwood, so to speak. It's going to be sour and cause those who are listening or watching our behavior, it's going to cause them to back up and to think twice about, who is this Jesus Christ that they serve? Who is that? Is this what he's like? That's not what I heard he's like. So it puts a doubt in their mind and poisons their mind, and it doesn't glorify the Lord or bring shame and dishonor to his name. And that's not what we want to do. And so, though it's a challenge, and it really is a challenge, I'm not going to be one to make light about that. It's not. It's a battle, really is, over this wretched flesh. We still have a responsibility to be wellsprings of living water before the Lord, and to not be ones that use our mouths to poison someone else's mind. And again, I say especially the little ones who watch what we're doing the most and who really register very much so in their minds. They are very much impressed with what they hear and how they hear it, whether it's in the tone of how we say something or the actual words that we're using. It's there. And if we have been responsible to cause something to bring a sourness to the little minds, regardless of where their age may be ranging from, we have a responsibility and a duty to help get that out of there, to apologize, to give an answer for why. Why did I speak that way? It was for lack of faith, and I wasn't being obedient, and please forgive me, and the Lord is not like that. Let us be responsible in that way, too, because then they learn, and they will see, like, oh, okay, this is how the Lord wants me to be. And they will follow suit. By God's amazing grace, they will follow suit. And if we're like that with each other, then we will be like that with others around us, even our neighbors. So praise God for all this wonderful sharing that's been going on. There's a lot in all of this that we are learning. At least I know I am. I'm learning a whole lot in this, and praise God for that. If there's anything else that someone wishes to see, the key is sparing the flock. Amen. And wait for a better time. The Lord will open a way. Amen. That's very, very true. Because that time right then and there may not be necessary to say a word. Silence is golden is an old statement, but it's a very true proverb that has been said time and again. It is very golden. The best eloquence, I think it was in Spirit of Prophecy, it says, silence is eloquence, too, was read. And it is true. You don't have to say a word. You may say 1,000 words just by saying not one word. And keeping one's face in, well, challenge to me, keeping one's face in peace and then being silent, you're going to say a lot of words just in that. Well, if there's anything else that anyone would like to share in this paragraph, before, if we have time to move on, then we can maybe read one more paragraph. If not, if there's something that someone else would like to share, please. And silence, but praying for both not to be consumed. Amen. Amen, because we don't want to be. Amen. Well, if we have time to read one more, do we have time to read one more paragraph? Okay, let's see if we'll read one more. Who would like to read this next paragraph then?
If these words of Christ were needed or heeded, they would check the utterance of evil surmising and unkind criticism. For in commenting upon the actions and motives of another, you can be certain of speaking the exact truth. Oops, I missed that. Can you be certain? No, who can be certain of speaking the exact truth? How often pride, passion, personal resentment color the impression given. A glance, a word, even an intonation of the voice may be vital with falsehood. Even facts may be so stated as to convey a false impression, and whatsoever is more than truth is of the evil one. This is so true. I remember Elder Frazee's dad at Wildwood said, if you're worried about what you might be conveying in a response, use the word oh. You can intonate that any way you want, but a response of oh can save you from making a monkey of yourself by saying, oh, I wish I hadn't said that.
Amen, dear brother. That's very true. That simple little word, and with the different inflections and intonations, can convey a lot without saying a bunch of words that you wish you never had, and now you have to, you can't, once they escape, you can't take them back in. They are out. They are loose like ravagers. They're out. Who would like to go ahead and share what they have heard read in these few words? Our sister was saying that that's as straightforward as it could be, and in very many ways, it really is, because touching in some parts here that we're talking, that are being spoken of here, if we did heed these particular words, they would check the utterances of evil surmising and unkind criticism, for in commenting upon the actions and motives of another, who can be certain of speaking the exact truth? So if I'm speaking something, and I really don't know the motive of that person's heart as to why they even said or may have done something, I really stand a lot to lose and to injure others by opening my mouth and speaking something that is not exact truth. And that's what we want to walk in, is the exact truth. That can be a challenge too, because looks can be deceiving. That is a statement that has been used time and time again, but it's very truthful. We are not to walk by sight, but by faith. Well, even when we open our mouth, we need to be praying, dear Lord, what should I say? It's by the moving of the Holy Spirit that we are to walk, by what we have learned through God's holy word, by what we are to walk and how we are to speak. what we see before us, and we'll even just take a little bit of a look around us in this world, what we see before us is not always what it is as it appears. It's not what it seems to be. There is much more going on, and we need to have the proper discernment of what we're seeing before we open our mouth or even react with our own flesh in what is going on, because, okay, I will give an example from myself and then I'm going to be quiet and let someone share, because I believe there's so much to share in this. It's not hard for me to get stirred up about political news. Those that know me, they know that once I get into seeing the much of lying that's going on and all the twisted of truth going on, I can get pretty fired up about that. To such a point to where the Lord has had to tell me, leave it alone. No, don't watch any of that. Not even a couple of minutes, just leave it alone. You need to spend time with me. Okay, and that helped me, because many times what I'm hearing and seeing, it was not always as it really was. A couple of days later, I'd find out more of the truth through even other Christians who are preaching the present truth. And that taught me a lesson. And it taught me a lesson to be careful, because there were times I would share what it is I was feeling about something. And that then becomes a seed for somebody else. And that's not good, because I'm passing it along. And instead of just shutting my mouth, keeping watching, as the verse was said, the door of my mouth, I would take what stirred me up because of just the gravity of the dishonesty and the blatant lies that I would see taking place. I would pass it on. Not good. Not good at all. And I found that these things also I was getting wrong, what some of the actions and motives were in some of these stories, because of how they were being portrayed by those giving the information. The facts were even as it was stated there, even facts can be so stated as to convey a false impression. Well, facts were being stated in a wrong way. So I've had to learn about that. I am not happy with having to have learned about that, but in my past ways of life, especially in covering news and things like that in my past also, I would get caught up in that, and I didn't realize just how deeply ingrained that was inside of me, and I really needed to rein that in. So that's why this touches very specifically to me. I could not really be very certain about whether or not I was hearing the exact truth or going to speak the right truth on an issue, because I wasn't certain as to what was going on. I let my own emotion take off with the situation, and before you know it, well, a little fire can kindle a whole forest fire. It doesn't really take a whole lot, and I'm hoping that you understand my point in that area. So, but before I even say anything more, I'm going to be silent and let whoever else has something to share on this, please feel free to share.
I'm learning, because I didn't always do this, to wait upon the Lord. Start up a prayer if you're not certain. And even if you think you're certain, you have to be careful. Start up a prayer and ask the Lord in situations, how am I to respond? Or even when am I to respond? Because you don't want to make a shipwreck out of anything else that happens. And so, this is something that I have been taking more and more. For example, someone does something, and in the world would be justified in responding a certain way, right? But in the Lord, we know that's not the way. And you know, it says a soft word, I think it is, turneth away wrath. And so, day by day and moment by moment, or situations by situations, I've been leaning more by God's grace upon that. Do I say something in haste
and make it worse, or do I wait upon the Lord and wait for it to happen? And for example, like this week, there was something that was on my mind, something that has been bothering me. And I said, Lord, please give me the clarity of it. I don't know why. I don't really understand. I don't really know. I waited upon the Lord, and before the Sabbath even started, the person sent a message, and I was like, wow. And then I was like, well, how do I respond now? Because this is what I had prayed for. And it was, by the grace of God, responded, you know, in a way that was soft and subtle, to open the door, to let the person know, like, there is no conflict or no whatever misunderstanding or anything of the sort. You know, I answered in the Lord. And it is because we don't know why. Truly, it may look a certain way, but to the natural eye, we don't really truly know. And so it's not always easy, because, again, you feel justified in responding in a certain type of way. But by the grace of God, if we wait upon the Lord and help him to navigate us through those things and through these emotions, then, yeah, we can overcome and let the Lord lead us to how and when and what manner we should be responding.
Amen. Amen. James says that if we can control the words that come out of our mouth, we can become perfect. So perfection of character is achieved partly by controlling the words that come out of our mouth. So words are very, very important in becoming saved. But also, it says here, a glance may be vital with falsehood. So just a glance. Let's say two people are at a meeting where the speaker is bringing forth issues of truth, and one person looks at his friend and rolls his eyes. Okay, so that rolling of the eyes conveys to his friend that he doesn't agree with what's being shared, even though it may have been 100% truth. So just a glance can lead an individual away from the truth. So it's not just our tongues, it's also our glances, our expressions. And you may be angry on the inside, and your expression conveys that anger. But it's the words you say that can give, force to your anger, or can soothe your anger. Sister White brings up the fact that you may wake up and feel miserable emotionally, but how do you respond to that miserableness? How do you respond to that feeling? If you force a smile onto your face, that reacts upon the body and counteracts the miserable feeling you have. If you start singing a song, that has an effect upon the body that counteracts the miserableness that you feel. So just having an expression doesn't mean you've committed a sin. How you respond to that expression can lead you to commit a sin. So we can change how we feel if we go to God and ask him for grace and strength, and if we change our actions, our words, our expressions, they can counteract our emotions. So self can be crucified by what we say, by how we act, which is quite amazing to realize.
Amen. Another thing that, dear brother, amen. Another thing that touches in on this too with the expression is what's noted here is how often our pride, passion, and personal resentment can add that same kind of flavoring, coloring to what it is that how we will respond. If we have a certain amount of pride, there is a thing that came to my mind is when, when we look a person up and down and we're next to somebody, or whether we're not next to somebody, but the Lord still sees it. But we know what we're doing. And if we're with somebody and we look someone up and down and then we look at the person who's next to us, we know what we're saying. We know that we're telling that person that's with us, look at this. Can you see this right here? What do you think about this right here? This. So we know or how we want that person that's next to us. Right. Amen. Sizing them up. And we want our friend with us, or maybe we're doing it just ourselves. We're doing it and we're thinking nobody else is around to notice. God notices. And it's often very much, it's very clear. It's often our own pride. It's often our own emotions or passions inside of our heart, which our heart is raging with all kinds of passions. And our personal resentment also bears into that. And that could be a resentment because of what someone has even done. But as children of God, if someone has done something that causes us to feel that we need to resent them, we need to hit our knees and pray for them and pray for us, because we need to know that we cannot be that way towards someone whom the Lord Jesus died for and whom we are supposed to love as the Lord Jesus loved. We need to be that way and not be sizing them up, not be checking them out because we think we're all that, so therefore who do they think they are? We can't have that kind of attitude, or we're really excited about against them, meaning we are agitated against them for one reason or another, whether it's really petty or it could be something that was really hurtful and severe. We have to learn how to like rein that in, give that to Christ, and be able to pray for that person in the same kind of way in which the Lord Jesus prayed for us. We have to do that then for that person and be mindful not to let this mouth right here or our own actions and our body language bring shame to our Lord, for look what he bore for us. I say that to myself many different times when I'm faced with challenges, and we all are faced with different challenges, but I have to speak to myself. I remind myself, look what the Lord has bore for you. Look what he has done for you. Look what he went through for you. Because he loves you well, do you really love that person who did this particular thing enough to love them as the Lord loves them? Will you talk to them in the way the Lord speaks to you, even after you wounded him? These are thoughts that I think in my mind when I'm going through difficult times or have been, slighted or even just outright, treated wrong. I was taught by the Lord. I was taught through his word. And by the grace of God, I have to say, when I came to know about the beauty of the spirit of prophecy and present truth, then I even came to know so much more, instead of just regular old churchianity and things like that. I started to learn about faith in Christ then. But it wasn't until I really had to look at what I was holding on inside of myself, concerning my own self, how I felt about myself, and then concerning about others, how they either treated me or felt about me or dealt with me, however the case may be, I had to start to wrestle with that. I share that because it's put on my heart, share it, so I'm putting it out there. I had to bring it before the Lord, and the Lord asked me, is this how you want me to deal with you? Should I deal with you this way? I mean, look at the way you're dealing with yourself. You really want me to deal with you like that? And how you're dealing with so-and-so because they said this to you or treated you this way or withheld that from you or whatever the case may be, there was a lot the Holy Spirit brought so I could see because it was a lot I was holding on to. And as I started to realize it, and I looked upon the cross, and all that was poured out on the cross, I couldn't help but be humbled by it. I couldn't help to be shaken by it. I couldn't help to be just, how dare I, to myself, after all of this love that was poured out for me, I can withhold that same love from this person here who called me a nasty name? Okay, they called me that, but what did I do with my actions to my Lord before I even got to know him, and yet he still came to me? He didn't rise up and crush me, and yet I was cussing him out every day of my life with my actions or with my attitude, and he still drew me, the Father drew me to him, and he took me in. Can I not do this with this one here who did this, which is so slight in comparison? Or they may have given me a glance. Whatever the case may be, I'm praying that the point is made clear because I know I can blah, 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 a lot. And I pray you forgive me for that. It's just that it was placed on my heart, you know, share that because that's how I have been. And the Lord in his mercy and grace has drawn me out of that and caused me to see that, hey, you want to love like I love? Then watch what you say, how you say it, how you respond, what your behavior is, and also how you are treating others who are not treating you the way you are treating them. Love them like I love you. Because we can say it, but doing it is different. Speak to them like I speak to you. For the Pharisees and Sadducees call our Lord Beelzebub. But he did not always come back, ever actually, come back with some disparaging word just out of passion. No, he let them see themselves for what they were, but it was always for the purpose of winning them over, not crushing them down, because he already said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world by me might be saved. So we have to have that same thing, even towards those who have hurt us in a very harsh way. We have to look at them as a soul that needs saving. And we need to see ourselves also as souls that need saving. So we watch our tongue. We watch our eyes. We watch our body language. We watch how we answer something. We're mindful. We put everything on the altar. And we put ourselves under Christ. Because that is the only, to me, in my walk I have learned. It is the safest place to be. And I'm still learning. As all we are all still learning, I'm still learning. And I got a ways to go. However, it doesn't stop me from saying, hey, that's the way to go. It's to go the way that Jesus goes. That's the way to go indeed. But if anyone has something to share, please feel free. Because I know that you know your brother can run his mouth. There is a point here at the end of this paragraph that is very pointed. It's a pointed point. And it says, and whatsoever is more than truth is of the evil one. And I find that to be exceedingly strong and very pointed. And it really should weigh on us. It weighs on me, and it was weighing on me before. How much, if we are being deceptive in the way we talk, or how we say something, or our facial expression, or the intents of our words, it's not truth. So then it is of the evil one. So that means that at that moment, just think about it. Think about it for a moment. At that moment that we decide, because it takes a decision, when we decide to say that thing, or look that way, or that way, well, looking at when we decide to do that kind of thing, we have taken our foot from vantage ground and we have placed our foot in the adversary's camp. And it may sound like, well, that's kind of harsh, but it's the truth. Think about it. If I tell a tiny little dishonest point, it's so small, is it still a lie? Or is it the truth? And if I'm telling the truth, okay, I'm telling the truth. Then I know where I stand. I stand with Jesus, for he is the truth. But if it's even this small, and I know it's that small of dishonesty, I'm telling a lie. I'm being dishonest, and then who am I standing with at that very moment? Who do I stand with? I know I'm standing with the adversary. I'm standing with Satan. Let's just get clear about that. I'm standing with Satan. And I need to repent of that so that I can be on vantage ground again. And our Heavenly Father says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we know by God's amazing grace, if we see that, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, that was not, you are in wrong. You're in the wrong. You are on dangerous ground. Does it mean I'm going to burn up right there? No, but do I know what will happen if I walk out that door and I don't make it right? No, I don't. Only God knows all these things. However, when it's brought to my attention, I know that I'm on not on the right ground. I'm not in Beulah land anymore. I'm running around out there where it's the wasteland. Now, I don't want to be in the wasteland. I want to be on Beulah land. So I need to confess that to God. And if I did that against someone, I need to confess that against that person, to that person. Hey, I wasn't truthful with what I said. I wasn't truthful with the way I did this. I need to make it right. Even if our pride may want to puff us up, I'm not going to do that. You know, they're going to make me feel bad or they're going to talk about me. So what? You brought it on yourself. You should have just been honest. I mean, really, that's just putting it down to earth like that. You know, you wouldn't be in that position if you had done what was right to begin with. Look at the prodigal son. He wouldn't have been in that position if he wasn't looking to the world so much. And looking to what he already had with his heavenly, well, with his father, which is to me, a type of his heavenly father, he already had everything. He was in need of nothing. So I look at it like that. And that is kind of how I see that last part. Even though it's very cutting, well, I have to say, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to take the scalpel of the word of God and the spirit of prophecy and do the cutting. And sometimes that cutting does not feel good. Most times it doesn't. Been under operations myself, and those of you that have, you know. Operations aren't pleasant afterwards. The healing process isn't always pain-free. Most times it's not, so it's going to be a little painful. But in the end, look what was repaired, and look at how much better the life would be afterwards. So we know. We know that it's not going to be easy. But in the end, it bringeth forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that is what we want. Christ's righteousness, not our own. We got to confess something. Makes us seem like we're nothing in front of the world. So be it. At least we are something in the eyes of God, for we are following his son's footsteps. We're not following the world's footsteps of being comfortable in unrighteousness. So if anyone has anything else to add to that, please feel free to do so. Before, if we have any time, if not, then I just want to share some of the things that were, the comments that were made on the side here. And it was to, that's it, to put it all on the altar of God, which is truly what we really must do with our whole life, our whole families, everything we have, put it on the altar. Whatever does not survive the fire of the purging of right, of the glare of God and the Holy Spirit, we didn't need it to begin with. It wasn't for us. And staying at Jesus' feet is where we should always want to be. And any place other than that, then we're kind of walking wild. There was another one our dear sister was sharing, saying there's no middle ground, no gray. When it comes to honesty, right, no straddling, no neutrality or lukewarmness, truth or error, God or Satan. It really is that clear. And the Word of God points that out very clearly. Spirit of Prophecy lays it out and breaks it down even more. There are only going to be two camps in the end. That's it. The camp for the Lord and the camp that stands under the black banner of Satan. There's no middle ground. There's no gray for nobody. And the Lord weighs the heart, so he knows already, for that is the promise that we have in the Word of God. The Lord knows those that are his. But there is no lukewarmness. So if we know we've stumbled here, just get up. Own it. Own it completely. No excuses. Own it. Make it as right as you possibly can and get up and keep charging forward. There's no time to slack back in any way and to give ourselves any excuses. We keep charging forward. Another one is correct it then at the very instant, and God knows how. God shows us to make it right, and it's very true. As soon as we know something, whether it was a glance, whether it was a word, whether it was a body language, whether it was we even caused someone else to jump on board of our own little pride train, we need to make it right as soon as the Lord brings it to our attention. We need to make it right as soon as we can. And the longer we take, I will tell you from experience, the longer I've taken to get something together and make something right or apologize, the harder it was and the longer it stretched out and the more the adversary will beat on my head about it. Oh, yeah, you know, you haven't done that yet, did you? And it's not also the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings conviction for our good. But the adversary will come in too. The evil angels will come in too. But they come in for to bring us down. One will build us up. That's the Lord. The other tears us down. That's the evil angels. And then we have our own flesh to deal with. Honesty is one of the highest forms of respect. And there's truth to that. It's very true. Honesty? Where is the honor in lying? We must watch our tongue when we are provoked by the wicked around us. And that's very, very true. We must watch our tongue, because the enemy is right there to snatch up every little word that we say and present it in a way in which we may not have even wanted to come across. So we have to be mindful. A good lesson from the altar of sacrifice. The fat was removed before the sacrifice was placed on the altar. Right, and the fat is reminding of sin. So when that was removed completely, sin must be purged completely, and then the sacrifice is brought clean and pure. And never a middle ground. There was another quote that's in here from Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. From the man that speaketh froward things, or proud things, or boastful things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, that boldness and corruptness, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now that not just a woman, but also a place of worship, a church. So we also know that too, praise the living God for those words, because in that too, we are delivered when we put ourselves in under Christ and this flesh in check, we find great deliverance. If there's any other words to share, please, dear brothers and sisters, please feel free to do so. seeing that we had so much that was being shared by God's amazing grace. We praise God for that. And this has been a really beautiful study, even from Sabbaths and Sabbaths ago when this first started to open up. It's been a beautiful study. But as we see the time now, and if there is no other sharing that wishes to be done by anyone, who would like to go ahead and give closing prayer before we go on?
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for these words of inspiration from thy prophet. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be gathered together to study into these things, to analyze them and discover the principles of truth and righteousness. We pray for your forgiveness where we have fallen short of this. We pray for your cleansing blood to wash us clean and for your divine grace to be given us to stand and live a new life in Christ Jesus. We also pray that any wrong impressions that have been made on other hearts will be undone, that the impressions will be dissolved, so that they will not continue to be misled by anything we may have done falsely in the past. And we pray for opportunity to implant right impressions on their hearts. And we thank you for being the God who does impossible things and does indeed gain victory in precious hearts. Thank you for thy merciful kindness. Thank you for your love. And please help us to love others as we love ourselves. Thank you for your grace that makes it all possible and for this wonderful plan of salvation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Thank you, dear Brother Joel, and praise God for a wonderful service. Dear ones, next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that starts out, everything that Christians do. And that's about a third of the way down on page 68. So that's where we'll begin next time. And let us take a 11-minute break, and then return back here at 12:40 Pacific time or 3:40 Eastern time for our main church service.